Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me as we're getting close to the end of our week, going through Romans chapter 8, this first section. And as I've said, I think we've gone through this before. We talked a little bit about the new law and the old law, but in a particular lens, we're talking about it this week through the defeat of condemnation, how truly condemnation, being condemned without hope, discouraged, and living in hopelessness has no place in the mind and the heart of the believer. So we've said it every single beginning of the show this week, and I want to say it again, that God brings conviction, which never leads to discouragement, shame, or hopelessness. But the enemy wants you to feel condemnation. So if you feel any of those things about yourself, about your past sins, that is not the voice of the Lord. And to fight against a spirit of condemnation so we can live in freedom, not under that old law of sin and death, but under the new law of the life in the Spirit. And the amazing thing is, this is what God is working in us. This is what He's working through us. This is what His Spirit is given to us for. This is why He came, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And although we sin, although we're drawn to sin, although we have still a desire for sin, that we're not perfect, although we think about our sins from the past, no matter what you've done, we talked about David yesterday, who killed and committed adultery, that the blood of Jesus washes you clean. And the Lord is calling you to keep going, to not give into discouragement, to repent, yes, but to not give into discouragement and hopelessness, because Jesus is working something for good on the inside of us, that our new life in Christ is at work in each and every one of us. And that new life is more powerful than the old man. Even though we feel discouraged by our sin, like sometimes I don't feel like that new life bopping around in me, you know, like when you're tired or when things are really hard or you're snapping at people or you just feel like, oh, I just don't feel like I'm in a good place or I don't feel like I'm doing well. Still, the enemy wants you to feel that and wants you to become discouraged in that and make you believe that that is stronger than the new life in Christ. That it's this equal tug of war, and it's not an equal tug of war, that the new life in Christ is stronger than any power of the enemy. Amen? Amen. So another thing we've been doing this week as we've been entering in is praying a psalm at the beginning of each morning. And I know for me, and when I'm in discouragement and I'm feeling tired and overwhelmed, which I feel like I have been, I go to the psalms, and praying a psalm just really helps us enter into this deeper place with the Lord. So let's go ahead and pray. I'm going to pray Psalm 33, and then we'll dive into Romans 8. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. I'm going to skip forward. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice. For we trust in His holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Lord Jesus, again today, we place our hope in you. We place our trust in you. For you are trustworthy because you made the heavens and the earth. You are above all things, Lord. You are God. And so we lift our hearts to you and we sing your praises with joy. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. I love how in that psalm it builds. It's like, hey, God made the stars. He made the oceans, which are so big and vast. God is so big. He puts them in a, he can put them in a jar, you know, like he can fit the oceans in a jar. It's like this image of saying he is so big and great. And the psalmist says he thwarts the plans of the nations. And I love this because it seems like the nations are so powerful. It seems like the kings of the earth are so powerful, even that the devil is so powerful, and says, the Lord is above all those plans. His power is greater. He thwarts the plans of the enemy. He thwarts the plans of the enemy. And so we just come before the Lord today and we look to his greatness and his power for what he has done, not the discouragement we're in or not the circumstances of our day. Amen. Amen. So Romans 8, 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So here we have, we're continuing on here, that this thing we talked about yesterday, God has done what the law could not do, what no one could do. So what is it that he did? Sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So one, God sent his Son into the world. God sends his only begotten Son, his most prized things that he loves more than anything in the world. The Father loves the Son fully and completely. He is proud of the Son. All he has to say is in his Son. He was enjoying heaven before all creation with his Son in the love of the Holy Spirit. And so he sends his only begotten Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he sent his Son as a human being, but Jesus was not sinful. So that word likeness of sinful flesh, he sends Jesus not in sin himself, but for sin. And here's what's interesting. This word condemnation comes back. He condemned sin in the flesh. This is why I think the enemy can really get us on this, because there is something to be condemned. It's not that condemnation and condemning isn't part of the equation at all. It's that the sin needed to be condemned. What needs to be condemned? Our hostility to God. What needs to be condemned in human flesh is the disobedience, is the hatred for God, is the desire to be God, the virus. Think of it this way. When you take medicine, if you take medicine for sickness and you're taking ibuprofen or you're taking cold medicine, it's targeting that virus in you that has now gotten itself all mixed up in your bloodstream and your organs and your lungs, whatever the sickness is, but it's attacking that sickness. It's not attacking who you are as a human being. When I take NyQuil, NyQuil isn't like attacking me because I have a virus. It's attacking the virus in me. So there's something in our flesh that makes it sinful, and that needs to be condemned. The viral cells in me when I'm sick need to be killed, need to be taken out. And so this is what God does. There is condemnation here. But when you're sick, when you're ill, for example, when you have the flu, you're not like, oh, I'm the worst person ever. I'm trash. Like, I hate myself. Oh, like I'm just like living in a sense of shame. Like we don't experience shame when we need to take medicine for the flu or when we're sick for the flu. We're just like, man, I'm sick. And this is where God is drawing us to this place of conviction to say, look at my heart. My heart apart from God is sick. I have a deadly virus that makes me sick. It makes me sinful. It makes me commit evil against my neighbor. I am sick and I need God. But have you ever had the person that is like never, the person that's like, I never get sick. Like we're talking about actual sickness here. Like there's the person that actually does get sick during the year and they're like, I never get sick. And then the next minute they're literally hacking next to you, coughing, getting all the germs on you. And you're like, honestly, you could recover, but you need to go home. You need to stop running yourself in the ground. Honestly, sometimes that's me. You know, I just keep working and working, keep going. And it's like, I'm sick. I need to rest. But we say, no, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. And that doesn't make us actually not sick. But this is what happens with sin, with the world. The world saying, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I'm not sick. But that doesn't mean that they're not carrying the virus of sin. And that virus needs to be condemned. Why? In order that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. So we talked about that definition of condemnation earlier being a judgment, a sentencing in the legal realm. And so sin, friends, actually brings on consequences. That sin needs to be judged. Disobedience and rebellion against God has consequences and needs to be judged, needs to be condemned. Because just like when somebody kills someone and they get taken before the judge, why are they put in prison? Because there's a just requirement of the law. If we just said, oh, like judges are so merciful, so they're letting all these murderers run free, we'd be like, no, the price needs to be paid for that. There was a life that was taken. And so the result of sin is that there's a chasm between us and God, and there's now a debt that the human race cannot pay. And God can't just wipe out the debt without anything happening, because that would make him unjust. And if he's unjust, he's untrustworthy, he's not good. But he doesn't want us to pay it with the fullness of wrath, because he's merciful and he says, I want to save the human race. And also we can't pay it because we are not the perfect sacrifice. So he sends his son in human flesh so that sin in human flesh, in a human being, can be killed. And that through Christ's death, the just requirement of the law. What is the just requirement of disobedience to God? Death. That the punishment of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So Jesus comes that the just requirement of that law, that old law, right, that points out our sin. Like when we break the law, there's a discrepancy there and there needs to be a punishment, a just requirement for breaking that law. That's what the Mosaic law does. It says, hey, this is a sin. This is how you disobeyed God. But the law can't punish and the law can't fulfill the just requirement of itself. So Jesus comes and his life, death, and resurrection fulfills the just requirement of the law so that that can be filled in us. So that in each and every one of us now, we don't have a quote unquote outstanding balance. The book of Colossians says the debt that we have, Christ has paid. He has paid the legal debt that is waged against us. That the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to our flesh. Because the just requirement of the law is fulfilled in our flesh. We're now not walking according to our flesh, but we're walking according to that new spirit that lives in us. Why? Because Christ has come and God has done what the law could not do. Give us new life in Christ and defeat sin and death forever. Friends, this is the gospel and you can hear it every day. You can hear it multiple times a day, but the Holy Spirit wants us to take this to heart and rejoice in what God has done for us, fulfilled the just requirement of the law. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus is teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.